Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
As soon as you say Jesus is only, you're off. Because Jesus ain't only anything. Jesus is everything. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is the second person of the triune God. He is the Redeemer. He is the Creator. He is all in all.
My heart beats for you, filled with power and mystery. Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, we begin a two-part study titled, Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Here's Pastor Chris now with a teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. There was a man from Illinois who decided to travel to Wisconsin to go duck hunting. He shot and dropped a bird, and it fell into a farmer's field on the other side of a fence. And as the man climbed over the fence, the dairy farmer showed up, drove up on his tractor and said, "What are you doing? What's going on?" And he said, "Well, I shot a duck and I'm retrieving it." The old farmer said, "This is my property and you're not coming over here." Well, this made the hunter quite mad, and he said, "If you don't allow me to come over that fence, I'm going to call my lawyer and sue you." The farmer smiled and said, "Well, apparently you don't know how we do things here in Wisconsin. We settle our disagreements with the three kick rule. I'll kick you three times, then you kick me three times, and so on back and forth until someone gives up." So, you know, the fellow, he looked at the farmer and he thought, "I could take this old farmer." So first the Wisconsin fellow came down and off the tractor, and he planted his steel toe into the heavy work boot into the man's shin. The man fell to his knees. His second kick went directly to his stomach, knocking the wind out of him. The farmer then landed his third kick on the hunter's head. And the disoriented man slowly got up and said, "Okay, you old codger, now it's my turn." To which the old farmer responded, "Nah, I give up. You can have the duck." You knew that was coming, right? It's a good thing that we don't settle the matters of how the church disagrees on the Holy Spirit this way, right? And it's so interesting because as Paul goes through this text, he's going to talk about unity and how important it is to have unity, though with diversity. And yet, many times the thing that people are most divided over is the works and the giftings of the Holy Spirit within the church. There is the conservative side of the church that believes that many of the gifts have been done away with or are no longer in function at all today. Then there is the charismatic or charismaniac side of the church that believes that they're not being practiced enough, especially the gift of tongues and prophecy. By the way, Calvary Chapel, we stand right about in the middle. We don't believe that they've been done away with, but we do believe that things need to be done decently and in order. And we don't believe the Holy Spirit interrupts himself. And I pray that today, as we come to this, that you'll come to a fresh understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just today, because in the coming weeks, we'll be studying this in chapters 12, 13, and 14. But more than that, I pray that you will experience a fresh work of the Spirit and a fresh filling of the Spirit in your own life, because that's the most important thing. You know, some of us in this room, you've come from a Pentecostal background, and you know certain sides or charismatic background, you experience that, and then others have come from a very conservative background. And a lot of times, Calvary Chapel ends up being a melting pot for that. And if you don't know what charismatic, conservative, and Pentecostal means, that's okay. You're in good company. Just stay right where you are. But the first thing Paul says here in the text is he says that we need to know the spiritual gifts. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know about it. And then he goes into how they were once Gentiles or pagans, carried away with these dumb idols. He doesn't want them to be ignorant like they were when they were following these dumb idols. And by the way, you know, they were led, it says. He pointed back to their paganism and where they were caught up in idolatry and led, and they were led by demonic spirits. In Corinth, they had over 1,000 temple prostitutes, and they were being led all the time into demonic activity. And if you think that you're not led or you weren't led before you're a Christian, you absolutely were. And if you're not a believer today, and you say, no, I control my own direction, my own way, I do everything on my own, I'm an individualist, it's not true. Because in today's culture, we're led also. You know, we think we're being individualistic when we dress a certain way or do certain things. I remember when I was a kid, the hippie movement was in full swing when I was about 13, 14 years old. And so, of course, you know, I began to grow my hair long. And when my parents asked me why I wanted my hair to be long, I said, well, I want to be an individual. And then when I grew it long, I looked around and everybody else was like me. I wasn't an individual at all. And it's also true with whether you wear tattoos or nose rings or whatever it may be, or green hair or whatever it might be. You look around and there are other people like you. So you're not an individual anyway. You are following the crowd. And we all do that. And the point is we're all led by the world. Paul in Ephesians says that before we're saved, that we were wandering in the course of this world, meandering around in the course of this world, and being influenced by the prince of the power of the air. You're serving somebody. You're following something. And the point is that Paul's going to say, you know, before you knew Christ, you're not led. You were led in another direction. Now you'll be led by the Spirit. Let's not be ignorant about this any longer. He wants the Corinthians to come out of their darkness and be led by the Spirit of God. And he starts out with a very important thing in verse 3, and that is that Jesus is Lord, and that's the issue. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to know that Jesus is Lord. Look what he says. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Understand that. So he cannot curse Jesus. John 16 says that Jesus said the Spirit would come and would testify of him. The Holy Spirit came to point to Jesus Christ. That's his primary, that's his initial work. In fact, in the life of any person, the first work that he does is he points you to the fact that you need Jesus. You need to be born again. That's the work of the Spirit. He convicts you of your sin. He convicts you of your need to be right with him. And he convicts you of the judgment that will come if you're not right with him. And in so doing, he's drawing you to Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us. He's done that with all of us in this room when we're born again. He came alongside you. You got that little prompting. You got that little sense of, you know, am I right with God? Someone started sharing the gospel, gave you a track and told you, wondered, is this right? And maybe you're in that place even today. And I pray the Holy Spirit is coming alongside you right now and is prompting you and speaking to your heart and drawing you to himself. But he says you can't speak by the Spirit. You would not say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there's a positive and a negative in this verse. And the initial work of the Spirit is that he points to Jesus. And if someone is filled with the Spirit, they can't speak against Jesus. By the way, this is how you know that if there's a cult or people who are not Christians. If someone puts Jesus Christ down. If someone says, well, yeah, I know we believe in God, but Jesus is only the Son of God. Listen, as soon as you say Jesus is only, you're off. Because Jesus ain't only anything. Jesus is everything. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is the second person of the triune God. He is the Redeemer. He is the Creator. He is all in all. He's the direct representation of the Father. And so we have to make sure we keep that. And this is how we know. And if they don't honor Jesus for who he is, then they're not true believers. When you get saved, it's interesting. Isn't it interesting how my language changed immediately when I got saved? I mean, I didn't have to think about whether I should use Jesus' name in vain again. I had other words I had to think about. I had other words that, you know, took a while for them to go away. But the fact of using the name of Jesus Christ in vain, it's like I couldn't even do it. And when I heard it, I cringed. In fact, I still cringe. In fact, it happened to me just yesterday. I'm working out in the gym, I'm stretching, and as I'm standing there stretching, this woman is being stretched by one of the trainers, and as she's being stretched, she blurts out the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes when people do that, I'll say something like, oh, well, you know, don't blame him. They'll say, him? What do you mean him? Jesus Christ. You just said the name of Jesus Christ, and you're blaming him for your pain. Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. It's just a saying. Oh, wait. You know, it's just a saying. Nobody says, oh, Confucius, you know. Or when you hit your hand with a hammer, you know, oh, Buddha. No one does that. Have you ever heard anybody do that? Nobody's ever heard that. And it's amazing how that changes. And if you say Jesus is Lord, and all that means, you can only say that by the Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who's worked in your life, and you can only say Jesus Christ is Lord. When you say he's Lord, by the way, in their world, they knew what it was to say he's Lord. It means he's the master of your life. It means, you know, Lord-master relationship. They were enslaved. There were lots of people who were slaves in those days. Millions and millions of people were slaves. So they knew the slave-master relationship, and Lord and master, same word. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you're making him the master of your life. You can't say that apart from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the only one who can humble you enough to say it. We have to come to that place where we're humbled and we realize Jesus truly is Lord. Well, then Paul gets into the teaching on the source of the Spirit. And he says over and over in the text, the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The differences of ministries, but the same Lord. You know, there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. By the way, you see, he says same Spirit, same Lord, same God. You see the Trinity right within that. In verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The unity of the Spirit, but different gifts, he says. And the point is, the Holy Spirit is not dysfunctional. The Holy Spirit is not confused or dyslexic. You know, again, if you came from a Pentecostal background and you went to a Pentecostal church, anybody of you done that? You came from that? Okay, so a bunch of us in this room. If you came to that, you know, you knew like at a 10:45 on Sunday morning in the fourth row, there'd be the same woman every week who's going to speak in tongues. And she's going to say what she says. And sometimes she speaks in tongues and she'll say two words in tongues, and it's a four, you know, sentence interpretation. And other times there's this long tongues and it's just, I love you, is the interpretation. You know, so it never quite fits. And you always sort of sat there listening to it going, that's just weird, right? And the reason you thought it was weird is because it is weird. And it is not the Spirit. I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And a lot of times it happens and it interrupts the service. The Holy Spirit does not interrupt. Like the Holy Spirit would not interrupt this right now, because right now I am practicing the gift of teaching. And the Holy Spirit doesn't interrupt himself. So he's not going to jump in and go, excuse me. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's somebody's flesh. And so if you came from that background, you see these differing gifts. And tongues and prophecy are always the ones that are controversial, you know. They're the ones that people like to fight over. They'd have the three-kick rule going over those two. But there are different gifts, right? There are different kinds of gifts and different gifts. And they're gifts of grace, the Bible says. Really, that's what it means, is grace, is Charis is the idea of this. These gifts are charismatic gifts, and they are supernatural. They're not just talents. You know, some people think, well, I have giftings. I can sing. Well, if you can sing, that's fine, but that's not necessarily a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, God can supernaturally use your gift of singing or ministry of worship, but I've known people who can play and who can sing and who are not anointed at all. It's just music. And I've had some worship leaders where it's just like, you know how you're in a worship service and the guy is talented, he can sing, but it's just dead. Because there's not a work of the Spirit going on. See, it's not just about someone's talent or ability. God can take talent and use it that way, but these gifts that he's talking about are gifts that are from God to us. Here's one man put it this way. He said, spiritual gifts are special capacities bestowed on believers to equip them to minister supernaturally to others, especially to each other. And he says there are diversities of gifts or varieties of gifts, or the idea of it is allotments or distributions of varieties. God distributed his gifts in many forms and in many varieties, and he has multiplicity of gifts. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, it says, having gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, or he who exhorts in exhortation, or he who gives with liberality, or he who leads with diligence. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that some were given to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the body for the work of the ministry. Now, the thing is, Bible scholars don't agree on how many gifts there are listed. Somewhere estimate around 20. But most don't think that this is necessarily an exhaustive compilation of gifts, but rather general categories of gifts. So there are many different gifts. We're not sure how many there are, but we see there are some listed in the scripture this way. And so there are different gifts, all these variety of different gifts. But then there are different ministries of these gifts. The same gift can be ministered in a different way. That is, the gift of teaching, for example, is being ministered today here, but it's also being done in the Sunday school class and also upstairs in the new believers class. See, the gift of teaching is happening more than one way in a different setting. An evangelist could have the gift of evangelism, but you could have primarily a gift of one-on-one type evangelism where you're able to witness to someone and bring them to faith in Christ. But then, of course, there's those who have giftings like Billy Graham or Greg Laurie who can stand up in front of thousands of people, even hundreds of thousands of people now with the internet and TV, and have many people respond and listen to the gospel. They're both the gift of evangelism, but they carry themselves out in very different ways. The gift of helps can be carried out in so many different ways. You know, it can be ministered to in helping out in the church, but it also could be ministered in going to help someone at their home. So there's lots of different things. Different activities, he says. And by the way, this word diversities and difference or varieties, it's all the same word in the original language. The different activities or diversity of activities is the outworkings of the gifts. The gifts and the way they work themselves out. The way they carry themselves out. But look, it says, but it's the same God who works all in all. It always comes back to being the same God, the same gift, the same Spirit, the same Lord. And, you know, it's not unity, it's not uniformity, it is unity with diversity. Unity with diversity, not uniformity. You know, if you had a football team and people played on a football team, not everyone could be the quarterback, right? I mean, if you had all quarterbacks on a football team, they'd be a lousy football team. You need different roles in different places for people. And, you know, it's interesting. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he has a will and a plan, and he will tell you and I what our gifting is and what we should do with our gifting. And he has the ability to do that. Now, if I were giving out the gifts, I would give you all the gift of helps, and I'd ask you to help me. You see? Because we're all selfish, right? And you would do the opposite. And interestingly, you know, some of us have different gifts, like one has a gift of exhortation, that's one of my giftings, and another has a gift of mercy, and those don't always, you know, work that well together. In fact, in mercy, in the area of mercy, I would, if I were giving out the gifts, I wouldn't even bother with mercy because I just don't even think it's necessary. Because I just don't think there's any reason to have mercy on anybody. Let's just get moving and do what we got to do, you know. That doesn't mean I'm right, by the way, and you should be really glad I'm not right. Especially, and if you have the gift of mercy, you're sitting there going, why would he say he doesn't want mercy? You see. But don't kick me, okay? See, the Holy Spirit knows what we need, and he distributes the gifts as he wills. Notice that. It says he wills. The two mistakes that are made is that people don't serve at all with their gifts. And the other mistake that's made is others who think they have to do everything, and they got to be involved in everything. And I've made that second mistake myself a number of times through years of ministry where you become a person who's willing to do stuff, and when somebody finds out you're willing, watch out because you're going to get it. Everybody's going to give you stuff to do. But the thing is, we all need to be doing something. I was reading about these four people in the church. Maybe you've heard of these four people. The church, they were named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. And there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but instead, nobody did it. Somebody got angry about this because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. And who's on first? But it's a true thing. You know, a lot of times we think that way. There is a reason for the gifts, and there's an extent of the gifts. It says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So here's what we see, is that each and every Christian has received a gift. Now, I say Christian, you need to be born again. If you're not saved today, if you're not born again yet, you don't have a gift of the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't give his gifts to people who don't know him. But once you know him, he can give you a gift or gifts, and each and every one. It says to each one for the profit of all. Paul doesn't make any exclusion. And it's for the benefit of every one of us. This is why tongues is the least of the gifts. Because Paul will say in another place, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. And so which gift is the most important gift? Whichever one is edifying the church. And that could be at any given time a different gift. We need each other. Here's the thing. I need you to exercise your spiritual gifts. When you exercise your spiritual gifts, it fulfills the church, the body. And I, by the way, am blessed to see that that's happening in our church tremendously. But I want to see it happen more, and I want each and every one of you, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants, I know the Holy Spirit wants each and every one of you to serve and to experience what it is to be used by the work of the Spirit in your giftings. See, we need you. So I encourage you to serve the Lord. The body of Christ needs you. This local body, Cornerstone, needs you. This Sunday school needs you, if that's your calling. The nursery needs you. And they call really loud back there. Cleaning crew on Saturday morning needs you. The outreach team goes out on Saturday and needs you. The relief team needs you, and other many, many other things. And I'm sure I missed some. There's ministry opportunities and places to serve. The usher crew needs you. We need you guys. And serving the Lord is what it's about.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCarrick. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR4645. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians.
Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful. I give you.